League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Who are you?
ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers. There are jewelry stores, then there's Zadok's. KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Vasquez beaten away by Buffon, and then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near.
Ramel Kiyoko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Feliz! La Pantanita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Well, this has not been a good day for emails and social media crashing on me. So, not the best of days when it comes to that. But we've got Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 tonight. Man, a week where we're finally getting back to BBVA Stadium. Houston Dynamo will take on rivals FC Dallas Friday night. This is behind closed doors, no fans. Now, you did see that FC Dallas played Nashville SC. And they did have some fans at those games. This game is going to air on Channel 55 locally as MLS in Phase 1 begins after the completion of the MLS's back tournament. Thanks to our presenting sponsor, as usual, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com. They are the presenting sponsors of this show, and we appreciate them getting us on the air. Also, our sister show in Austin on Horn FM. So a big thanks for that. Streaming at ESPN975.com, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Hit me up on Twitter during the show. All right, question of the night, and I want your take on this. 713-780-3776. Should Lionel Messi stay at Barcelona, or should he leave? It's a pretty obvious question that's out there all around the world. We will have Jordi Sunyer of TV1 from Barcelona, Spain tonight. He's going to take us into everything about what's going on with the board. Eric Abidal has been sacked, one of the sporting directors. This is going to be an amazing interview with Jordi Sunyer. Steve Davis, FC Dallas color analyst. Diego Bocanegra, the University of Houston women's soccer coach, will get us updated on what U of H women's soccer is doing, because colleges have a lot of different things going on, trying to complete schedules, maybe regionalizing things a little bit, not traveling over a specific amount of hours. Diego's going to get us up on all of that and what he's doing with the U of H program. And then Tab Ramos is coming up in the next segment, the Houston Dynamo coach, to talk all things Dynamo, including a couple of new signings as well. Okay, today Red Bull Leipzig got pummeled against Paris Saint-Germain. It's one of those games that RB Leipzig has to go in, and they cannot. They have to play a mistake-free game, and they don't do that. They end up losing in a very big way today. So PSG now sits in that Champions League final, looking for a first one ever. It's the first ever final they're going to get to, and Bayern Munich will play Olympique Lyon tomorrow, and that should be a great game. And that's a 2 o'clock game. Again, I'm through the roof. When it comes to watching these single elimination games. Friday, we have the Europa League final, the same day the Dynamo play that night at BBVA Stadium. Sevilla and Inter Milan. So a lot of good things happening. Again, we stream at ESPN975.com. Shows presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Okay, got our guests lined up. Aaron Raybould, how are you doing, buddy?
Doing well. How are you?
All right. So I wanted to continue our conversation real quick. I just want you to give the listeners that you told me about the new show called Lasso. And we know Lasso He's a college football coach who takes over a Premier League team, and everybody's familiar with Ted Lasso. Give us a little insight into it. There is a soccer theme to it. Don't give it all away, but you do like this show a lot.
I love it. It's done by Bill Lawrence, who did Spin City. He did Scrubs. He did Cougar Town. He does a lot of really good comedies, but he doesn't do... I feel like most of his shows aren't your traditional sitcom comedies. They're comedies where, you know, they're creative in how they portray the jokes. It's not just a quick one-liner and then you're done. And it's not a giant constant laugh track for most of his shows. This show, I mean, Jason Sudeikis thought up Ted Lasso pre-SNL before he got there. And he'd done, you know, they did a couple bits with it before. And he finally got Apple TV to pull the trigger on making the show. So they actually make it in England. And, yeah, you said it. He's a Division II college football coach who takes a job coaching in the EPL with not a lick of soccer knowledge. And it's funny. It's lighthearted. And just he plays a down-home Kansas guy who never gets upset. And everything is always on the bright side of life. So it's really great to see all these. Because then you have the traditional English football fan who gets upset and hates the coach, hates the team, but still roots no matter what, where and the press hates him and everything, and he always makes sure that he's always smiling and he's always trying to do everything to make everybody else around him happy.
Oh, it sounds like a great premise. By the way, I know you're out there going, well, how does a college football coach get a Premier League job? We're not going to spoil it. We're going to let you figure that out by watching it, but pretty good. Thanks for that update, Aaron. That's funny stuff. The Dynamo today acquiring Ariel Lassiter from Alajuela in Costa Rica. He's an attacker, as many people know, the son of Roy Lassiter of Tampa and DC United, who scored a boatload of goals in Major League Soccer. To my knowledge, I think Roy Lassiter is working with a youth club down in the Beaumont, Port Arthur area, if I'm correct. So his son, Ariel, 24 goals, 16 assists, 64 games in the Costa Rican First Division. Now, you know, you might immediately go to, okay, what's the defending like in the Costa Rican First Division in comparison to Major League Soccer? He's quick. He's got talent. He's got 6 caps for Costa Rica. He spent a lot of time at the LA Galaxy, but mainly played with Galaxy 2. But remember, you know, they've got their high-profile money signings in the striker position. It's a tough place to break in Major League Soccer. So this is a player that the Dynamo have been after, and I'm sure there's some Tab Ramos connection there. We'll ask Tab about Ariel Lassiter next. Now, is this also making sure you got attackers if Albert Elis moves on, which many people feel is going to happen? More importantly, though, even, I think, is that they've addressed a gaping need in midfield with the acquisition of Wilfried Zahibo. He's a number 8, okay, for people that got upset on Facebook when I said he could play 6 or 8. Let me just clarify. He could be a holding midfielder, and he can be a two-way midfielder. Good range of passing. He's going to add some athleticism, bit of stoutness to the midfield. He can cover a lot of ground. Only thing I think is the question mark here is, can he consistently produce? And that's what he's going to have to do in Houston. But he's got a good range of passing, born in France, can cover ground. Sounds like somebody that can help beef up the midfield in the 4-3-3. This has been an area we've talked about on this show since last year. Both these guys are younger. I think they're both 25 years of age. Tommy McNamara goes to New England. They're going to receive allocation money. McNamara now leaves Houston with 30-plus games, 2 goals, 3 assists. And the Dynamo also received an international spot for 2020. So there you have it. But I think there's a lot of excitement in the air. I'm really excited to talk to Coach Tom Ramos next, because I can only imagine how excited they are to get games now and get back in their own stadium. They've played a couple of scrimmages in there. They've kind of simulated the conditions down there. So excitement for Friday, and it'll be on TV. It'll be on Channel 55. You can join Eddie Robinson, Cindy Bourbano, and myself for the call. We're looking forward to seeing all the people who've worked on our TV crew. Some people we haven't seen in close to half a year now, because the last game we did was all the way back in the beginning of March. So it's pretty incredible. So Bayern Munich, they dismantled Barcelona. You saw it. I saw it. A lot of things happened in that 8-2 victory, and really it pulled the veil of secrecy off of a dysfunctional soccer club, if I can even say that about Barcelona. 713-780-3776. Should Lionel Messi stay at Barcelona? Should he go on? Let's go to the phone lines and George. George, what do you have to say?
I think it's pretty much a no-brainer that he should leave. I don't think he has anything to prove in La Liga that he hasn't already proved 100 times over. I don't feel like the rivalries really matter anymore. The big thing with him and Ronaldo is over and done with. Like I said, it's bragging rights, and it barely lasts a season. I think a great fit would be Man City. They have a ton of cash. They have an established coach with a wonderful pedigree both there and back at Barcelona. At Bayern, he's as close to as good as it gets as he's going to get. And with Liverpool's dominance, I feel like, that there's a really fun chip to put on their shoulder where it's like, man, I could go in there and unseat, they're the toughest bully on the block now, and I could be the one that beats them. It seems like it's win-win all the way.
Interesting take, for sure. I appreciate that, George. Thank you very much. Anybody else got a take on Lionel Messi? 713-780-3776. So he was linked to Manchester City. I guess the first thing you think about is, okay, well, then the career at Barcelona, the one club career, that goes out the window. I think the next thing you think about then is the Premier League and its difference with La Liga. And there are differences. He's got to have a better support system. He doesn't have that at Barcelona now. I think there was too much Lionel Messi's going to get us out of problems. But if he's surrounded by the right people, boy, what a storyline that becomes for the Premier League. And what does it mean to La Liga? Now that Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi have gone, it means some others have to take up the mantle of being the star players in that league. So, interesting to contemplate. What do you think of that? What do you think of Lionel Messi to Manchester City? How does he transition into the Premier League? Very different league. 713-780-3776 is the number. So back to Barcelona and Messi at Barcelona. The last time they won the Champions League was 2015. They had five players who were playing on the team now. At that point, were 27 and 28 years old at the height of their careers. They're now on the downslide of their careers. The likes of Piqué and numbers of others. So the interesting thing here is that the players in some ways are being thrown under the bus. And I don't want to get into this too heavily because I want to make sure that I don't steal the thunder of the Jordi Sunyer interview. But my point is this. It's dysfunctional. The president's had a problem. The president's now all about self-preservation. No question. He's preserving his job. He's putting it on the players. The players are putting it back on him. They're putting it back on him, the guy that gave them the big contracts as well, into their 30s. So it's pretty, it's very complicated. La Masia maybe not producing as much as before, but they're going to need a total remake. They hired Ronald Koeman. I don't know if that's official yet. That may become official tomorrow. But that looks like the way they're going to go. Yes, he has the links to Cruyff. Yes, he scored the winning goal in the European Cup in 92 with Barcelona. But lot to happen there. And by the way, Manchester City, Messi could join other leagues too. Go to the Italian Serie A. Join Cristiano Ronaldo at Juventus. you finally bring the two adversaries together and put them on the field at the same time. 713-780-3776. Major League Soccer. Maybe you don't wound the whole legacy of Barcelona if you finish up in America, in MLS. But they were destroyed. I mean, they weren't even playing. They weren't even playing against Bayern Munich at the end. They weren't even running. And for those of you who say Bayern Munich should have pulled it back, nonsense. Please stop. 713-780-3776. Where do you think Lionel Messi should go if he doesn't stay at Barcelona? Do you have thoughts on that? What a moment it was for Tyler Adams of RB Leipzig. Yeah, they got beat today, and they got beat thoroughly. He came off the bench in the game today. But a couple of days ago, he produced the game winner in the quarterfinals against Atletico Madrid off the bench. What a moment. No American player has ever scored a goal in that round of the tournament, let alone to win a game that puts you into the semifinals. Don't forget, DeMarcus Beasley did play in the semifinals of the Champions League with PSV. But Adams scored this goal. What a moment for him. What a great kid. We should have pulled his interview tonight because he's been on the show many, many times before. And then you had Alfonso Davies, a part of this dismantling of Barcelona and what he did to Semedo. I don't know if any of the Houston Culas' supporters group in Houston have come out of their house lately. Would love to get some of your thoughts, though, because you guys follow the team week in and week out. 713-780-3776. If you got something you want to get off your chest. But it's going to be a climb back for Barcelona. A lot of guys that are just, you know, their shelf life expired. Let's face it, that intensity, that fire, it's not there. It's just not there. Now, if you've been watching Champions League coverage on CBS, it's been excellent. Really, really good. It's all about the game. It's not about the individuals. Everybody contributes. You got a coach's take in Roberto Martinez. You got a very good host in Cade Abdo. You got Jamie Carragher. You got Michael Richards, player's perspective. You got Schmeichel out at the stadium. Peter Schmeichel, the former goalkeeper, who, by the way, gave you a tip today about the goalkeeper, Gulasic, of Red Bull Leipzig, and pointed out some of his strengths and weaknesses, and a lot of it came true. But the focus is on the players and the teams, the insight. It's not the hype. It's not, you know, it just really, it's a clean set that they're on. Absolutely love it. Their coverage, big kudos to CBS, taking it to another level. Very, very good. Very, very good. And I really want to watch these pregame shows because of the people that are there and where they've been when it comes to the Champions League and things like that. And it's good. It's great stuff. So today, early set-piece goal, tremendous delivery by Angel Di Maria of PSG, who did not play in the game prior when they almost got beat by Atalanta of Italy. So his delivery, he pings it, and he puts it right on the six, freezes the goalkeeper. It's that place where goalkeeper, should I go, should I not? In this case, Gulasic stays rooted to the line. Set it in by Marquinhos. And they just go on to do the business. Di Maria would eventually score a goal. So would Neymar. 3-0. All right, Tab Ramos, Houston Dynamo coming up. We're going to talk Dynamo FC Dallas. We're going to talk some Major League Soccer. Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. That is a number to go to. Look, John and his firm, they're personal injury attorneys. We don't want you to get in an accident. If you do, though, you got to get representation. 713-322-HURT. Bilingual. They're going to work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. Get the representation you need. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. And also, big thank you to Lustau Vermouth, one of our new sponsors. Get a little Spain in your life. Lustau Vermouth is fun over ice with tonic water or club soda. Or my favorite, paired in a gin and tonic with your favorite gin, and then a break a little orange peel, get that orange essence in there, and maybe a couple drops of lime juice. It's refreshing. Ask for Lustau Vermouth at your local liquor store. Houston Dynamo coach Tom Ramos coming up.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, a quick word here for NB Elite Realty. Now, if you remember the indoor soccer days at the Summit, Nebo Bandovic was a leading scorer for the Houston Hotshots. He wants to invite you to start your journey to financial freedom through real estate investing. He's become a very good investor post-playing career. Nebo went on to build a real estate investing empire, multi-million dollar portfolio, and he wants to teach you how to do the same. Follow Nebo at Nebo Bandovic, B-A-N-D-O-V-I-C, on Instagram for daily investment tips, secrets, more information on how to be mentioned and mentored by the master himself through the VIP program. That's at Nebo, N-E-B-O, Bandovic, B-A-N-D-O-V-I-C, on Instagram. And Friday night, we get back to soccer at BBVA Stadium. I have a feeling my guest now is probably as excited as anybody to get back in that stadium and get competition. Joining us now, Houston Dynamo head coach Tab Ramos. Tab, thank you very much for coming on tonight and taking the time out to join us.
Hi, Glenn. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, quick question. How's your family doing up in Jersey, by the way?
Everybody's good. Yeah, thank you for asking. So far it's been, knock on wood, but so far, New Jersey is doing a lot better than they had been before. Everyone has stayed at home and things are improving, and my family, fortunately, is surviving. So it's good.
Yeah, that's what we'd like to hear. All right, so let's get right into some of the big news is the two acquisitions. Let's start with Ariel Lassiter. Obviously, you know his father, Roy Lassiter, from the early days of Major League Soccer and the national team. Tell me a little bit about Ariel Lassiter and what you're thinking there with him coming into the Dynamo on loan.
Yeah, so Ariel is a player that I've been familiar with for quite a few years now. I invited him to a U20 camp quite a few years ago. He then did well in the USL, and it seemed like he was always on the up and coming, doing well in the USL. He was very successful, a player with a lot of speed, an honest, hard worker, can play pretty much mostly the left side, wide area, but could also play the center forward spot. So it gives us a few options there. And then he made a progression in the USL to go to the LA Galaxy's first team, got a few games there. But, when you're a young player at a club like that is always investing so much money on high-end foreign players up top, it's difficult to find time. And so I think he had a tough time with that. Ended up having to leave the club and head to Costa Rica, where he's done extremely well. And I think that we're bringing in a player that obviously is still getting better, but a player that's up and coming and moving, sort of trending in the right direction, if you want to call it that. I think he obviously, like I said, he still has a lot of improvements to make, but I feel like we're getting him at the right time, and I think he's in a good place to get some good playing time.
It's interesting you said he could play center forward, because when I looked at a lot of the goals he got for LA Galaxy 2, a lot of them came right down the heart of a defense and getting behind defenses. So that was interesting that you did say that about him. And I guess he's predominantly left-footed.
Yeah, he's a left-footed player, which is, obviously a bonus, but something that we were looking for, to be fair. It gives us, he can take free kicks with the left foot as well, and he's very good at those. So, yeah, I think there's quite a few things that we liked about him, and that's why we decided to go after him. And then, I think one of the most important is that, besides all the things that I just named, I think also he's a player who, you know, he's an American, and that makes it easy for us, you know, to fit into the roster.
Yeah, good point. Wilfred Zahibo comes from the New England Revolution. Again, I think he's 25 years old. Tommy McNamara goes to New England. They get allocation money, and you get a midfielder that can do a variety of things.
Yeah, I mean, I'm personally excited about Will, because he, you know, it's not easy to find a 6'3", 6'4" player in the middle of the field who can recover balls and has good feet. They're hard to find. Will with New England, as it happens to many players, sometimes it's hard for them to find consistency. He didn't find it as much in New England, although obviously the first year he was an all-star. So we feel like if we put him in a good situation here, you know, he can give us that type of season where he's playing with a lot of confidence. He's a force in the air at almost 6'4". I know he's listed as 6'2", but he's a little bit taller than that. So he gives us that dimension in the air that we haven't truly had. And so, you know, when you find a player with these characteristics who can be a back-and-forth central midfielder like an 8, who can also get in the box on the attacking end and get some headers and help you defensively on set pieces, you know, I think he has a lot to offer. So it was really hard for us to pass up when we heard that he might be available.
And I assume this is a great fit overall for the 4-3-3 and your 3-set in midfield. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, no question. I mean, obviously, you know, it's work in progress for us still, but I think we needed to add in that position to sort of have that two-way player. I know that Will has more defensive qualities than he does attacking qualities, but he's a great distributor, and so although he may normally play a little bit deeper than we're going to want him to play here, because we're going to give him a little bit more freedom to attack. He can distribute when he has to stay, and that's a great trait for us to, again, at that size, someone who has good feet in the middle of the field and who's truly a good soccer player, not easy to find. So I think it's a great addition for our team.
Yeah, exciting signing, Wilfred Zahibo. And these guys won't be available for, I think, like another week or 10 days, right, because they have to quarantine?
Yeah, we're actually still waiting to hear back from the league on whether Will is just 7 days. You know, with Ariel, we had to wait the 10 days, but he came a couple days earlier. So it's likely that the players will be available Monday of next week. So whether they'll be available for the game on Tuesday or not, that's still up in the air, but it's certainly not out of the question yet.
And, Tab, are you the type of coach that would, you know, coaches are different when they inherit new players. Would you put somebody directly in a starting lineup, or do you want to give them a bit of time just to ease into the situation?
I mean, I think normally the way you would do it in a normal season is you would give the players a couple weeks to adapt. But we'll see. We'll see what happens in this case. In soccer, and as I was mentioning to you before, you know, you could always answer the questions with depends, because it depends on a lot of things. You know, it depends on whether we take a red card on Friday. It depends on whether, you know, Bonilla gets recovered from his injury by next Tuesday. It depends on so much.
Right.
You know, so at the moment we're just leaving the door open. It's likely that neither player will play that day. But we'll leave the door open at this time, because if they're available, we might as well do that.
Love it. Love how upfront you are about it. This is great. Let's talk about Friday. I mean, you guys got back from the bubble down in Orlando. You got back from MLS's back tournament. A lot of training been going on. You're getting to this point now where Friday you get this live competition with FC Dallas, and it's a big game.
We're looking forward to El Capitan. I mean, this is a huge game for us. You know, obviously, you know, we feel that, you know, if we, by winning this game on Friday, we put ourselves right in the playoff picture, and we need that. We can look, you know, what we've done in a positive way with a win on Friday, and plus the fact that we know how much this means to our fans. All the players know that, the coaches know that, and this is a big, big game for us.
So FC Dallas comes to town. Before I ask you about them, the schedule is pretty crazy because you turn around, you play on Tuesday, then you'll have about 6 days until September 2nd, Minnesota, 3 days to a game against Sporting Kansas City. So when I look at this six games, which are all going to be completed by the 13th, six games in 24 days, boy, that really makes you have to plan very, very differently, and I'm assuming there's going to be a lot of opportunity for people.
Oh, for sure. We're going to need everyone on the roster. At this point, as I said before, I'm happy with sort of the standard, that knowing the standard that we have to set by the opponents that we've already played. I think we've had an extremely tough schedule to start. Obviously, the Galaxy, although they're now doing well, they have great players, and that's been two really difficult games for us. Obviously, the last one tying on that penalty, was difficult. But, you look at our schedule, we went to Orlando, and our only loss was against the team that won the whole tournament. So they beat us, but they also beat everybody else. That doesn't make you feel any better about losing the one game, but it does show the competitiveness of our group. So I'm happy about that. And then we started the season, obviously, with also the two tough games of, Galaxy at home with Chicharito and away at Kansas City. And now we continue, Dallas at home. Dallas is a good team. And then we go to Kansas City, and then I think we get Minnesota at home. So, we've had a really, really tough schedule. So I have to tell you, I really like it because we're getting very well prepared, and once we get a couple of W's under our belts, I think we're going to be in really good shape.
Three out of your four here in phase one are going to be at home, so that's a nice thing as well. You guys don't have to travel that much. You'll go to Kansas City. It's a pretty regional schedule, obviously. Getting the team younger. I mean, this is obviously something you're doing with the signings. I don't think anybody can not see that. They're conscious of it. And it seems like you're really stockpiling a lot of young talent that's going to be exciting in the future.
Well, there's a couple of ways to look at that. Obviously, because I've been in that space for so many years, I know what players are out there, and I can tell the talent, and I can read. Obviously, I don't have a secret formula for what players are going to be great and which ones are not, but I can make a pretty well-educated guess on those guys. And so when, one thing I think that I feel grateful to the club for is the fact that they've been able to open the door to these types of signings. And not that they were not doing it before, but the door is wide open now to signing good talent. And I think we're building a foundation for the future for the club. But I think one of the things that I want to make clear to the fans is that we're not looking at 5 years from now to win. Like, we know that we have to win now, and the goal is to win now. So we're just trying to do both at the same time. How can we make this current team better now and still put some pieces in place to build a foundation for the future? And I think, obviously, it takes time to do that, but I think slowly we are doing that.
Well, I think you're making a big statement. It looks real great, and the recent signings, too, are getting people excited. Tab Ramos, Houston Dynamo coach. Dynamo in action against FC Dallas on Friday. That game will be on the air locally here, Channel 55. Obviously, no fans allowed in the stadium. The protocols have been followed by the Dynamo and Tab and his staff. I mean, you can only imagine how much pressure that additionally puts on a coach and his staff when they're trying to work with their players. So FC Dallas had their two games against Nashville. Any thoughts on Dallas after watching those two games, Tab?
Yeah, I feel like they were a little bit unlucky in both games. The first game, they actually lost to Nashville. They were clearly the better team, and they took that goal late in the second half against the run of play when they had just had a number of opportunities to take the lead. Then I think it was Walker Zimmerman that saved the ball almost on the line right after Nashville scored to keep the 1-0. And so they were, unfortunately, the first game. The second game, I think they played with a little bit of they started with a little bit of a different lineup. They gave John Nelson an opportunity at left back for the first time. It was his debut. And they made a couple of changes that I think changed the team a little bit. But still, I thought the second game, you could tell they were getting into a little bit of a rhythm. So you know, they're dangerous. Barrios is Barrios. You know, he can hurt you at any moment. I think the addition of Jara up front is a good one. He's a dangerous player, a proven scorer in Mexico. And I think the speed of Picoult. So, you know, we don't know if they're gonna start with Picoult on the left. That'll give him a lot of speed, or somebody like Paxton Pomyko that obviously I know really well, who has excellent feet and can create for other guys. So they, you know, Dallas is a team that has been built for a long time now, and they're just adding some pieces here and there. So, you know, it's a good team. There's no way to hide that. But at this point, it doesn't matter. You know, we're playing at home. This is the Derby, and this is a game that we have to do all we can to win for our fans.
Tab, listen, as always, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. We appreciate all the great insight and gives us a lot to look forward to Friday, and really looking forward to seeing you guys take on FC Dallas down at BBVA Stadium.
Thank you, Glenn. I appreciate it.
All right. Best of luck Friday, Tab. Thank you so much. All right. So that's Dynamo head coach Tab Ramos there on FC Dallas fight for El Capitan this Friday. Good stuff and good insight there from Tab Ramos. As we take you into, Glenn Davis here, one of the big changes we're all dealing with is wearing a mask, but not all offer the same comfort and protection. I recommend the Boomer Naturals 3-layer comfortable, breathable mask enhanced with nano silver technology. Nano silver technology can block those tiny drops and particles from getting to your nose and mouth. They also offer nano silver neck gaiters, available in sizes for adults and children. They're in stock. They ship to you fast. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com. Use the promo code Davis. Save 20%. That's code Davis at BoomerNaturals.com. I picked up an additional mask. I got a free one, but I picked up an additional Boomer Naturals mask today in a local drugstore. Nano silver can block those tiny drops and particles. All right. Big thanks to Boomer Naturals. Big thanks to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. We'll take a break coming up. FC Dallas analyst Steve Davis to give us the other side.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Hi, I'm Carly Lloyd, and you're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Hey, for those, Toronto's playing Vancouver tonight. Toronto has a 1-0 lead here in the 34th minute. Got that on in the home studio here. Have not been back into the studio since March. Every show has been... what are they calling it? Home Studio FC or something like that. Quick word here for John Daspit. Daspit Law Firm are presenting sponsors. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. I just remind you that they bring you soccer on the airwaves. 713-322-HURT. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. They're going to work for you 24/7 nights and weekends. Again, they are bilingual. 713-322-HURT. And we thank John and his firm for not only... being the presenting sponsor of this show, but also in Austin, Texas. All right, let's talk some FC Dallas, the Dynamo opponent, El Capitan. It's the rivalry match. It's a great way to bring it back into BBVA Stadium on Friday. FC Dallas color analyst Steve Davis joining me now. Steve, how are you?
Doing good. Welcome back into the studio. Good to hear that.
Yeah, well, it's a sign of the times, Steve. Just a lot going on, and as I know it's been for you as well. You've already done one of the games under heavy protocol. What was that like?
We did two of them. And one was extra strange because it was delayed for 3.5 hours and kicked off at 11:07 p.m. So it did.
I bailed on that one. I was ready for that one, but I bailed on it, and I watched it the next morning.
Well, good for you, but I couldn't. I had to stay there for the whole thing. I did the whole thing. You know, happened to do soccer, though. So under the new protocol, you know, for the first game, they only really sort of announced tickets on sale at the very last minute. Yeah, they were purposefully trying to limit attendance. They had capped it absolutely at 5,000, and which is they could have had as many as 10 by state requirements, but they capped it at 5, and then they sort of just slow played the tickets. It was almost like a soft opening of a restaurant, and in the end, you know, they got about 3,000 people there, and so there's plenty of distance for everybody, and to spread out, and everybody seemed to behave as far as mask wearing, and they had extra protocols as far as hand sanitizing stations. So from what I saw, I think it worked okay, and I didn't hear many complaints.
Very good. Steve Davis joining us, color analyst for FC Dallas. He'll be on the call in Dallas this Friday while we're doing it here in Houston. All right, so let's talk about FC Dallas. The disappointment of having to go home from Orlando in the bubble, coming down there with a couple players who had tested positive for COVID, gone home and trained, and now get to this moment. They get their first two games. Take us a little bit through what's kind of happened up there and what the mood has been over the last couple months.
Well, you can certainly imagine the disappointment of having to pull out of that tournament. And look, you know, I'm not just making excuses for these guys. There was a lot of national finger wagging at them, and you know, the shamey fingers. I really believe that this was not anything like, you know, going to a bar for wings, you know, that happened in NBA, and this was not a bunch of guys at a pool party. This was literally, you know, one of the younger players who lives with his family and had a brother, and they brought it into the house, and it was literally, you know, one of the guys running to an IKEA one time because his wife was pregnant and needed a bed, you know, and then they get on the plane to go into the Orlando bubble, and they're following MLS protocols, which really hadn't been sort of dialed in at the time. The testing was maybe just hadn't quite got the timing right. So the long story short is I don't think there was anything egregiously wrong there, although there was a couple of minor mistakes. I think the league protocols, there was a couple of things that they sort of changed based on what happened to Dallas, so they kind of got to be a guinea pig that way. So, you know, a lot of disappointment, but that's life. You know, we're all dealing with things in 2020, and they've dealt with it. But obviously now as we move forward, they didn't deal with it all that well because they lost twice, or they tied one and lost one to an expansion team.
So, I mean, look, the first thing you say is every league even had some problems getting started and had some COVID incidents. I mean, the German Bundesliga did too. Baseball's had tremendous struggles with the Miami Marlins. And you made a great point. You know, maybe that was actually something that helped MLS and protocol, all the people who established the protocol, to look at it differently after what happened with FC Dallas and Nashville. So the two Nashville games, how about some general thoughts from you on those two games?
Well, Dallas has always had trouble breaking down a team that digs in defensively. Dallas is good building out of the back. They're good in the central midfield areas. But the problem that they've had going back to last year under Lucci, you know, he did well on the build from the back thing, but combinations inside the final third, well-timed entry balls into the final third, penetrating runs and penetrating passes. That's not something that Dallas did especially well last year. So now you get to an expansion team like Nashville. And by the way, Nashville, do not sleep on that team. You know, Atlanta beat them 2-1, and it took a wonderful strike by Emerson Hyneman to do that. And then Portland, that just won the tournament, Nashville goes into Portland, and in Portland it takes a great Diego Valeri strike to beat them 1-0. So they're not going to score a lot of goals this year because they're still missing some attacking pieces, but they have two good center backs, starting with Walker Zimmerman, and they're so well organized in the back. So that sort of happened to FC Dallas. And then I think Lucci right now, Glenn, he's got so many options in midfield. There are literally eight guys that could start and do well for about three central midfield positions, right? Now you got basically four strikers, between Zdenek and Drasic, the new guy from Pachuca, Frank O'Hara. They've got Jesus Ferreira that they're sort of playing. They've been playing as a 10, but he's not a 10. He wants to be a striker. And then they've got young Ricardo Pepi. So they got four strikers. And Lucci's been trying different combinations. And to be honest, I just don't think he's hit the right one just yet. And I think he knows that. He's tried different formations to try to get a couple of different strikers on the field and get more of those guys, in the midfield. And that didn't really work out when he tried a three in the back. So he's still sort of tinkering with that. And there's a couple of guys that maybe just aren't comfortable with their roles yet. And you add it all up, and they had two games at home against an expansion team where they did not score a goal. And so that's, any way you slice it, that's just not good enough.
Yeah, that's disappointing. I mean, for sure. He has, as you said, flitted out of different systems, 3-5-2 into a 4-3-3 in the last game, I think, or was that the first game? One of the games he changed systems, and then ultimately he went back to getting Barrios out wide, who seemed more effective there. I guess they were trying to play him in the interior a little bit at times, and he still remains one of your most dangerous guys, right, Michael Barrios?
Yeah, but what has happened is sometimes he has played at times as an off striker, but I think he's so much better in that role. If they're on the road, they're going to sit back and they're going to counter attack, and he's an outlet that can get out and run into space. And a couple of years ago against Sporting Kansas City, they had a great plan to sort of isolate him against Eichel Parra, and he scores a hat trick as that off striker. But now in that game, when teams are going to sit back and you really have to combine with your striker, combined with your central midfielders, he's not comfortable there. So he looked, by 45 minutes at halftime of that first game when they tried him as an off striker and a 3-5-2, they pushed him back out wide and said, this just isn't working.
Now
they get him back out wide where he can work with Reggie Cannon a little bit. But again, the other day, that one just didn't work out. You didn't see the usual combinations of Reggie Cannon and Michael Barrios out there. So he's another one that just needs to get going a little bit.
Yeah, how about Andrasek, the Cobra?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Andrasek?
Cobra, yeah. Yes, so he was doing, this time last year, he was just getting into the starting lineup. He just sort of had figured out what Lucci wanted in the press, and he just sort of figured out the league a little bit, and he got on a roll late in the year. And coming into that game the other day, he had scored 9 goals in the last 9 appearances. So he was really rolling, but then he gets a little bit of a knock in training. Then he can't start that other game that allowed Frank O'Hara to come in, but Frank O'Hara hadn't played in a while and didn't really know the system very well. So I think Andrasek is just a guy who gives you a lot of emotion. He gives you a lot of energy. Technically, he's not the best in the world, but he does bring other things to the table. So he's one of those guys that always seems to be around the ball and is not afraid to mix it up in the box a little bit. That's the kind of striker he is. But ultimately, I think they want somebody a little bit more technical who can combine a little bit better with different people. For now, Andrasek's been getting it done just through will and emotion.
So I'm getting the sense, and we're talking to Steve Davis. He is the color analyst for FC Dallas. Steve, I'm getting the sense that there still is a bit of an assessment period going on here with players. There's still a little bit of a period here where Lucci Gonzalez wants to see somebody, take a job and make it their own, and also tactically kind of trying to figure things out fully for the future as to what your basis is anyway, or what you're going to build off of.
Yeah, Glenn, I think you watched plenty of the MLS's back tournament, and we saw those early games, especially the first half, especially, where they were slow. And there just wasn't that much going on, and because these were teams that had basically gone through another preseason, and they got the games picked up a little bit as the tournament went on, right, as it progressed. But those early games, man, some of them were just kind of snoozers, right? Because just like you said, they're still sort of toying with systems, and players aren't fully fit, and they're a little cautious, and they're thinking, well, maybe I'm not going to make this run because I don't know if I get back. And dude, it was hot in Dallas that first game, so it was a kind of a slow game. And then same thing, the second game against Nashville. So if you go back to where these teams were, I guess Houston started fast, didn't they, with that 3-3 draw with LA. So maybe it didn't apply to Houston, but a lot of the teams weren't really going at full speed in those first games in Orlando. And that's just where Dallas is now, and that's where Nashville is too. It's just that Nashville as they play these two games in Dallas. Well, I think what they're trying to do and what they're going to do all season, sit back, defend, and counter. I think it's just easier to do, you know, preseason. I mean, yeah, what kind of a preseason do you really need to do that? You sit deep, and then you counter. Whereas
well,
Dallas
Gary Smith. He won an MLS Cup doing that.
That's right. That's right. And that's fine because they're an expansion team and I don't mind that. But, you know, Dallas is, you know, they're trying to build out of the back and, you know, and unsettle you through movement in midfield. And my point is that these are like two preseason games and it's hard to do that. So yes, you're absolutely right. He is still tinkering with combinations and personnel.
So I'm going to ask you, with their third game in 11 days in this weird time with COVID and everything, do you expect the tempo of their game on Friday and their cohesion to be better, or is there a concern that fatigue could be a bit of an issue, although they have changed their lineup in and out a little bit?
Yeah, no, I think they should be a little bit better, to be honest with you, because they have had these two games, and you get a few days rest in there. It's not a full week, of course, but they played Sunday night, late Sunday night, and so you get, four full days of rest. But as I said, they got about eight different guys that can play in the midfield, and they're using five subs right now. So I don't think fatigue will be that big a deal. I mean, quite honestly, if I'm Houston, I'm a little bit worried that what they haven't played in, what is
that's
it now, 20 days?
Yeah, that's
something?
Their issue. They haven't had a game against live competition in quite some time. Yeah.
Yeah, so if it's just me picking, I'd rather be on Dallas' side on that one, to be honest with you.
Spoken like an FC Dallas color analyst. Come on. Come on, Steve. Take off the red jersey, will you?
Well, no, honestly, which one do? What do you think? 20 days? I don't know. Whatever. 20 days?
No, I think it's something good to ponder. I think it just is a sign of the times. Both teams have challenges. Yeah. They're different types of challenges, for sure. Yeah. By the way, did Jimmy Maher basically? And I got to make this quick before we get to break. But did Jimmy Maher perform super in that game on Sunday? Well, I guess Sunday into Monday.
Yeah, right. One of the reasons it was 0-0 was Jimmy. Good saves. First half, one really terrific double save. And, yeah, he absolutely played well.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Steve, thank you so much. Have a great time on the call. Thank you, as always, for coming on and being so insightful. And we appreciate you taking the time out to join us here and give us a little preview.
Always love talking soccer with you, man. You guys be safe.
We'll do it again. That's Steve Davis, FC Dallas color analyst, also tremendous writer. You'll remember him from the Dallas Morning News. All right, we got Jordy Seigné coming up. Now, we've talked about, how accountability may be lacking at Barcelona today. Big news, Eric Abidal was dropped as a sporting director. Jordy Seigné is of TV1 in Barcelona. Has become a great friend, but tremendous journalist. These are two segments you are not going to want to miss when it comes to Barcelona and Lionel Messi. We'll take a break. It's a Lustau Vermouth break and an NB Elite Realty break.
Those are the days that bind us.
At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPNHouston for 20% off.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.